All right, we're reading in Romans chapter 2, verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. You know any of those that have done everything the law says? I never met any until I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. For those of you that were not here last Lord's Day, verse 16 very clearly connects with the end of verse 12. Because you see that verses 13, 14, and 15 are in parentheses. So you can skip the parentheses and read verse 12 and go right into verse 16. And you get the sense. And then you go back and read the parentheses because it's explanatory as well. Verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew and restest in the law and makest thy boast of God. And knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge, and of the truth in the law. Amen. We end our reading there at verse 20. And we do trust that the Lord, the Spirit who breathed this word through the holy apostle Paul, that the Spirit of God would come today and cause this to be more than simply words on the page. May the Lord write them upon our hearts and cause these words to be impacting our very way of living for Jesus' sake. Our text is made up of verses 17, 18, 19, and 20. And don't be afraid. We are not going to be any longer than we normally are with verses 17, 18, 19, and 20 as our text. There are six things we'll see in them. Charles V became the emperor of the so-called Holy Roman Empire in the year 1519. And he was only 19 years of age when he began his extensive reign over so much of the continent of Europe. During his reign, Dr. Martin Luther did his great work of Reformation in Germany. Luther's work has left a lasting impact on the whole world, even to this day, thank God. And it was Charles V who sat enthroned at Luther's trial at the Diet of Worms. Luther's famous speech so stunned the young emperor that he didn't seize Luther on the spot. He was very stunned by what he heard from this German. As a loyal Roman Catholic, Charles wanted to destroy Protestantism, but he had a problem. The providence of God. The providence of God kept Charles so busy fighting the invading Muslims, as well as fighting the French king that he hated, he had little time for destroying the people of God. And the church of the Lord flourished in those days. Charles was not a good man at all. He fathered some legitimate children and also some illegitimate children. At last, as a not a very old man, but at age 56, his warring and his wickedness had so broken him down that he was as an old man. He looked like a very old man in his 70s at age 56. At that time, he entered a Roman Catholic monastery in Spain. He had wasted his life. His days were nearly over. He gave the appearance of preparing for eternity by shutting himself up in a cloister. But from the monastery, the former emperor continued to have his hands on, very much involved in the politics, not only of Europe, but also of the New World. He died with his interest chiefly on this world at age 58. He was gone. What a shame. A man born with such great advantages, wealth and education, privilege, all of those advantages that God gave him could have been used for the good of millions and for his own soul's sake. But he squandered all of his advantages on sin. Such is the sad case of the natural seed of Abraham described in verses 17 through 20. There are six particular advantages that the Apostle Paul shows us here that the natural seed of Abraham had. And almost the entire Israeli population, without God and without hope in the world, has squandered these advantages. So let us look at these six spiritual advantages that the Jews had and have that are described right here in these verses. The six, I'll give them to you. First of all, their name. They're called Jews. Secondly, their law. Number three, their knowledge. Oh, I'm sorry. Number three is their God. Number four is their knowledge. Number five is their wisdom. And number six is their ministry. Down through these four verses. First of all, you see in verse 17, you see their name. Behold, thou art called a Jew. And the Greek is very important here. The verb, thou art called, all right? It actually is in the middle voice, and it actually means thou callest thyself a Jew. In other words, you are taking this name for yourself. You dare take this name. They were blessed as God's ancient chosen people. What a lineage they had. Patriarchs, priests, prophets, and potentates like David and Solomon. Salvation is of the Jews, Jesus said in John chapter 4. Bearing the Lord's blessed name in their name, while others blasphemed him. The Jews had great advantages. Such a lineage, such an ancestry should have led the Jew to the Lord. But instead, the Jews over the centuries have gone willfully and deliberately and consistently away from the Lord for millennia of time. And yet, they have not been annihilated. That's amazing. And so many of them are back in their land. Now, the name does not make a person. The name does not make a person godly any more than a uniform makes a soldier or a gun makes a marksman. They have the name. Verse 17, behold, thou art called a Jew. What a privilege. Revelation chapter 3 states, thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Revelation 2:9. A synagogue of Satan, yet they say they're Jews. Very serious. John the Baptist called them what? A generation of vipers. What does it mean? A generation of snakes. The spiritual leaders, he was calling that. So that is their name. Notice secondly, their law in verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law. The Jew used the law as a pillow, putting his head on it and saying, I can safely sleep, while the rest of the world, the Gentiles, are in fatal danger, terrible danger. They thought this privilege of having the law was enough to get them into heaven. John the Baptist and Jesus Christ and the prophets told them better. No. You've got to bring forth fruit. They thought this privilege of having the law was all they needed, but that was carnal security. Spiritually, eternally fatal. It was good that the Jews sought no other form of religion or philosophy or wisdom. The law was enough. They had entire confidence that the Old Testament was the eternal truth of God. And they have that confidence. So many of them. But a lot of them are atheists now. Yet the sad matter is they are satisfied with a form. And you can be satisfied with a form and have no heart for God. They were satisfied with a form without the living reality of Messiah who had already come. They had life without the Messiah. We see their name in verse 17, their law in verse 17, and look at the end of verse 17, the third thing, and makest thy boast of God. Their God. They made their boast in God. The only living and true God of Scripture. The God of the Jews. The God professed by the Jews. Only among the Jews was the true palace of the living God ever on the earth. You know he had his palace among the Jews? He pitched his tent, the tabernacle, with them. When the temple was built, in Solomon's day, the glory filled the temple. So much so that the priest had to get out of there. They couldn't even stay in there. The presence of God was so absolutely overwhelming. God only ever, literally and visibly, had His presence, His palace, among the Hebrew people. God triune, literally presenced Himself with the ancient Hebrews. Therefore, the Jews view all Gentiles as idol worshippers without God and without hope in the world. And the God of miracles displayed the great bulk of His miracles, His great power, particularly among the Hebrew people. And so the Scripture says they have their boast in God. Glorying in the Lord can be a good thing. The Apostle said, in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory or boast except or save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I should not boast in anything, Paul says, except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, but this Christless, self-centered glorying and boasting of the poor benighted Jews only amounts to spiritual pride and hypocrisy. What terrible things spiritual pride and hypocrisy are. That spiritual pride and hypocrisy can cause a man to think that he's truly worshiping the true God while he's actually causing the high and holy name of God to be blasphemed. Now think about that. Look down at verse 24. Verse 24, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. Through who? Through the Jews. Because they professed the true God to be their God and then they live like the devil. Do you really consider this? I say that people do not really think about what they believe and what they do. Most people just do without thinking it through. Do you deeply consider the meaning and the significance of what you are doing, how you're acting, how you're living? Because let's understand, God has the perfect assessment of how we're thinking and how we're living. So we see in verse 17, their name, their law, and their God. Let's go down to verse 18. We see here their knowledge. And knowest His will. How did they know? How did they know? They had been catechized. Being instructed. It's interesting there. It says that at the end of verse 18, being instructed out of the law. Being catechized, literally in the Greek, katekeo. All right, that verb, I had a man that went to his mother's funeral this week, an old friend, went to school with him, right down the hill. He said, that's a scary thing you've got on that sign there, the word catechism, you know? And I said, well, it's in the Bible. He said, I never read it in the Bible. Well, it's in the Greek. Seven times in the New Testament alone, the word for catechizing, catechism, literally being catechized at the end of verse 18, being catechized out of the law, being instructed. No other nation had such thorough instruction in the Old Testament. Psalm 147, verses 19 and 20 said, He hath not dealt so with any other nation. Israel had knowledge. They once understood what God required and what God desires. And it's coming again. One day the whole universe will clearly know God's will. As it is joyfully and universally done, on earth, then, as it is now being joyfully and universally done throughout heaven. It's, God's will is going to be perfectly honored and sought and obeyed and submitted to on this earth joyfully and willingly and completely one day. Because Jesus didn't teach us to pray an empty prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So they had knowledge and knowest His will. I want you to notice something a little different. Number 5 in verse 18. Their wisdom, it's there. And approvest the things that are more excellent. They had this wisdom. They had this ability to discern and to distinguish the things that were excellent that are called here in this older form of English, that which are more excellent. The Jewish people not only had heads crammed full of knowledge, they had the wisdom to make good use of their knowledge. They know how to protect their nation. Don't mess with Israel. Okay. They not only have knowledge, they know how to use it. They know the Old Testament, and they know how to put it into everyday use. They got the saying out west, don't mess with Texas. You better not mess with Israel. They not only know how to protect their nation, they actually do it. They implement their knowledge through wisdom. They are able to control world finances. If you don't believe it, study who really has the grip on the world finances. They are able to control the media. If you don't believe it, investigate who owns the media. Their wisdom enables them to escape much evil. And that's one reason I believe in Romans chapter 11, when the Lord saves the Jews, it's going to have such a domino effect across the world. I mean, if you've got the people bowing to the Messiah. And knowing Him who controlled the world's finances and the world's media, what more are you looking for? That's going to be wonderful. Okay. Now, they have not only knowledge, but they have the wisdom to use that knowledge. Their wisdom is expressed in their music, in the Psalms. Their wisdom is extremely sad, though, in what it misses. They are skilled in their interpretations, but they cannot see the Messiah who has come as Jesus of Nazareth, fulfilling all of the Old Testament scriptures of types and shadows and prophecies. A man may be wise enough, as so many of the Jewish rabbis are, to argue points of theology. And I tell you, a man may be wise enough to argue theology, and yet that man may be a total stranger to real godliness and sanctification and conformity to Jesus Christ. Now, in the last place, we have looked at the advantages of the Jews, their name, their law, their God, their knowledge, and their wisdom. And finally, there's one more. Number 6, their ministry. Verses 19 and 20. And art confident that thou thyself art a guide to the blind. Oh, how sad. A light of them which are in darkness. An instructor of the foolish. A teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth and the law. And here Paul is speaking out of his own experience by the Holy Ghost. He knew what the Jewish mindset was. And they still have that mindset that they have the truth and nobody else does. Nobody is right but them. The Jews were so sure and certain that they were the guides of the blind. But Jesus said they had become blind leaders of the blind. That so the leader and the followers would all fall into the deep ditch of eternal hopelessness. Matthew 15, verse 14. The Jewish rabbis claimed to be the light of the world. But Jesus Christ claimed that title for Himself and for His disciples. Now I want to read you something from the rabbis. The Hebrew Talmud. The Talmud is a huge collection of the writing of the rabbis that were looked up to and honored by the Orthodox Jews and still looked up to. There's a very telling portion in the Talmud, the section called Ba, comma. And listen to what the rabbi said. This rabbi was not stupid. When the shepherd is angry with his sheep, he blinds the leaders. Obviously, the rabbi who wrote that had great understanding. When God punishes Israel, He gives them unworthy rulers. The same can be said for the United States of America, can it not? God deals with people that He's angry with by giving them blind leaders. You ever wonder, why can't our leaders see it? Why can't they get it? I mean, common everyday sense. Basic math. Where is it? The rabbi saw something there. When the shepherd is angry with his sheep, he blinds the leader. Well, verse 20 says, there are not only those. In verse 19, thou art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness. Verse 20, an instructor of the foolish. To those that have no wisdom, the Jews are the ones to impart real understanding, to give wisdom to morons. The Greek word is there, morons. To teach morons wisdom. A teacher of babes, verse 20. This has special reference to the Gentile proselytes. God's purpose for Israel is to teach and to disciple the nations. The Jewish instructor had the very form of knowledge and truth. Now you notice that right there in verse 20, which has the form of knowledge. That word form is very interesting. Paul uses that in other places. The form of knowledge. Not just the knowledge. Not just the truth. But the form. Meaning the systematic outline. The orderly manner in which instruction is properly given. It was given to them in God's Word. The outline in Scripture. The basis. The very great doctrines contained in Scripture. The outline in Scripture is the very basis for the Apostles' Creed and all biblical catechisms. The whole law is our schoolmaster. For what? To bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And you know what's so sad? Is these people suppose that they are the answer, and they are. But right now, they are not using their advantages. They will not use their advantage until Romans chapter 11 is fulfilled. But what a terrible thing it is. We have the answer. We have the answer, and we are the answer to the whole world's dilemma. And to just be so cozy and comfortable with that. What a sad thing. And to have no heart for God. And to have no heart for ministry. And this is their ministry. Well, we started today with Charles V. Emperor Charles V wasted his life on wars and women. What a sad abuse of all the advantages that he was born into. And the same thing can be said for the poor, benighted Israeli nation. Now, they bore the name. They bear the name. They carry the name of God in their name. Do you bear the name of a Christian? Christian, Christ, the greatest Jew that ever lived. You bear His name. Are you really alive spiritually? You profess His name. Do you have a vital relationship with Christ? Do you really know God? Or do you simply have a name to live and you're actually spiritually dead? The Jews rely on their own law, their name and their law. They rely on their law works to save them. I wonder, are you depending on your works? Are you depending on your goodness, on your merit, or on Christ's work for salvation? Both of these are not the gospel. Only Christ's work is the gospel. The Jews had the ability to talk theology to the Gentiles. Do you talk theology? Has that theology changed not only the way that you think and what you think, but has that theology changed the way that you live in the home, the way that you treat your family, the way that you relate to them, and the way you relate to others? If there has not been a change in your conduct, in your way of life, then you need to truly assess whether or not you are indeed converted. The Jews teach. The Jews catechize their children. It's the ancient method. It would be good for Christians to be as diligent in teaching and instructing their own children as the Jews are in teaching and catechizing theirs. It is a very rare thing. It is a very rare thing for a Hebrew to leave their religion. One reason for that is, from children, they are carefully instructed and catechized, the word is, in the truth of the Old Testament. The Old Testament interpretations as they see them. So may God help us to be faithful in training our children for Jesus' sake. Let us pray together. O God, our gracious Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We praise Thee that the entrance of Thy Word not only gives light, but it throws light on those things that we are so settled and comfortable and confident in, even when there is absolutely no foundation for our confidence. Teach us Thy way, O God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.